He's worthy. Glory to His name forever. Well, get ready to sing tonight. Amen. We just want to leave out the scriptures. And we just trust God has just leads us. There are things that anything you find in the scriptures, you're free to partake and to enjoy. It's a function of yielding to the Spirit. And what enables us to yield is the revelation of the truth. So whatever truth we find in the scriptures, once the revelation comes, all that is left is that we yield to the Spirit. Whatever we find in the scriptures, the Spirit of God will make good in our lives. Hallelujah. Once the revelation of it comes, the Spirit of God is able to make good in our lives whatever is written in the scriptures. It is ratified by the blood of Jesus. It is made available to us by the Spirit. And all that is left is for us to yield. And yielding comes by the revelation. The entrance of His word gives light and gives what? Understanding. Understanding is how to walk in it and how to do it. Acts chapter 2. Let's just start from somewhere tonight. We have been looking at the subject of receiving and administering edification to ourselves. And we said we're going to go a bit further. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. Make sure you're reading your Bible. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, say all. Alright, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as were a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. I'm going to jump all the way down to verse 14. Bible says, but Peter standing up with 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there and I'll continue afterwards. Notice that the Bible says they were all with one accord, seated in one place. The Bible says they were all filled with Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Bible says Peter standing up in the midst with the 11. 120 people were seated in that place. They were all sitting when the Holy Ghost came. They were all sitting when they were filled. They were all sitting when they began to speak. The Bible says, Peter standing up with 11. So out of 120 people, 12 people stood up. Peter was the first to rise up. And then Peter began to explain. I want you to notice what Peter said that was happening. What was he trying to do? He was trying to explain what was taking place. So Peter went into the Old Testament and said, this is that which was spoken. This is when the New Testament church was born. And Peter brought out a very important point, which is the fact that we are fulfilling what God has already written. And what God has already spoken to his prophets before time. That it shall come to pass. So Peter was saying, it is now come to pass. Peter was saying that the role of the New Testament church is to bring to pass, to manifest the word of God. So Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass. Let me read verse 17 again. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit. Now, this was the day of Pentecost, and Peter called it the last days. Let me ask you a question. That was about 2,000 years ago. If that was the last days, what days are we in? What days are we in? The last of the what? Last days. I'm going to give you an illustration to explain to you what God did. Let me read that verse 17 again, because you can easily, if you have an English mind, and most of us have an English mindset, you won't understand the mind of the East. These scriptures were written in Eastern language, in the Greek. So there is a mindset behind the writing, and they use language common to their culture to convey certain truths. Now let me read that verse 17 again. It shall come to pass in last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit. Now, Have you noticed that most of us read that I'll pour out my spirit? Do you notice this out of? Do you know what that means? It's as though you have a huge container filled with water, and in this season, there is a dimension of that water I will pour out. I'll pour out of means there's still more in that container. Do you understand? Okay, so I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So the first outpouring took place on the day of Pentecost. After that, there have been several other outpourings. What was determining the outpouring? One of the things that would determine the outpouring was that as it is, pardon my English, was getting more last. Pardon my English. Can you understand? That was the last days, 2,000 years ago. So as we entered more into the last days, God was pouring out more. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And there is something unique about that statement. God said, I will pour out of my spirit. So God poured out a measure and they began to speak in tongues. But Peter said, Joel prophesied that you will prophesy. When they spoke in tongues that day, the Bible says the people that gathered around them, they had them. They had them. Let me explain again. The people were filled with Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues. But the people around them had them in their own language. So the miracle that took place on the day of Pentecost was that supernaturally, God allowed every man who had the disciples speaking tongues hear what they were saying in their own language. So it was not just diverse kind of tongues. It was that the people were receiving the interpretation of what was being said. What were they saying? We hear them speak of the wonderful works of God. And that's also important. Because that tells us what the substance of tongues and prophecy should be. It should be about the wonderful works of God. Let me take a step back. Peter said, it shall come pass in the last days, I will pour out upon all flesh of my spirit, and your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy. What should be the content of prophecy? Remember, Peter is explaining what took place on the day of Pentecost, or what the people were seeing all the disciples experience. What were they doing? They were speaking in tongues. What did the people hear? The people heard them in their own language. What would they hear in their language? We hear them speak of the wonderful works of God. Now, when you hear wonderful works is a statement of what has already taken place. It's already in existence, but may not necessarily be known by people. So they spoke of things that the Spirit of God began to release through their mouths. But remember, they were speaking in tongues. So let's look at it this way. Here are 120 people. Let's assume they are seated here. The rest of us gather around them. What they are speaking is tongues. What we are hearing are the wonderful works of God. What is the content of inspired utterance? What is the content of prophecy? What's the content? I want to see if you are following. What is the content? No, you're not getting me. What is the content? According to what Peter said, what's the content of prophecy? Okay. Now, at least I know where you are now. All right, let's go back. Look at verse 7. Let's read from verse 6. That's why it's good to read everything in context. Okay, so never be too lazy to read passages of scriptures. When I say passages, I didn't say one passage, I mean passages. Because you will get the full meaning or contextual meaning when you do that. Look at verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, what was noised abroad? They heard them speak. So it was that 120 people are speaking at once. Now, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man had them speak in his own language. Look at next verse. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, and not all this week speak Galileans. So the people that were speaking in tongues, Galileans. But what the people were hearing was not Galilean. Permit me to use that phrase. They were hearing all their own languages. Where did those people come from? Verse 9. Parthians and Medes and Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, in parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and swingers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt. What amazed them? Number one, that these people seem to be speaking our language. But the scriptures tell us those people were not speaking their language, they were speaking tongues. So obviously, when they were speaking tongues, there was an operation of the Spirit that caused the people to receive the interpretation or what the 120 were saying. Not only that, do we know there must have been a miracle? 120 people cannot be speaking at once, and you will hear distinct language. What you will hear is noise. In fact, let me show you a scriptural principle. When they came together, 120 people, 120 is the number of a new nation. One of these days we do biblical numerics. You know what 7 stands for, what 3 stands for, what 5 stands for, what 4 stands for, what 70 stands for, why Jesus chose 12 disciples and then chose another 70. Everything has a meaning. Do you understand? So, 120 is the number of a new nation, but here's what you need to see. In this same Bible, in Genesis, I think chapter 11, when they gathered together and they said, we'll build a tower that reach heaven. You remember something? Their purpose was wrong, but they were united. And God saw they were united and scattered them by scattering their language. In Acts of Apostles, God united their language. It's almost the same thing. The difference is this. It was the purpose of God. There was the Spirit of God who gave them a language. And when he gave them a language, he allowed the language to be interpreted in the ears of everyone. What were they speaking about? The wonderful works of God. What were the disciples actually speaking? Tongues. What are the people hearing? Wonderful works of God in their own language. Now, Peter now began to explain that the people which you are hearing. So Peter is explaining two things. He's explaining the reason why these people suddenly are speaking about the wonderful works of God. And to us who are now reading the Bible, he's explaining why the people are able to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Are you following? Do you understand? To you, you don't understand Crete or Arabian. What you understand is they were speaking in tongues. The people that were hearing them didn't hear tongues. What were they hearing? Their own language. What did they hear in their language? Wonderful works of God. When Peter got up to explain, what did he call it? Prophecy. Peter said, they are speaking with inspired utterance. In fact, this is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. So we know from that passage of scripture that number one, the church is raised up by God to fulfill prophecy. Number two, prophecy means somebody under inspiration is speaking forth the wonderful works of God. Whatever you speak forth is already in existence. How then do I judge that what I'm about to say is by the Holy Ghost? It has to do with the wonders of God. Otherwise, it won't edify a believer. Hallelujah. Do you understand? It won't edify a believer. It must have to do with the wonderful works of God. And Peter said, this is that which was spoken. Joel prophesied in advance. Peter said, this is the manifestation of the prophecy. That Joel said, why will they be able to prophesy? God said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall. In fact, that word shall is permissive. Shall means that they will need to yield because God has poured out of his spirit. But they are the ones who will what? Prophesy. God doesn't prophesy. Men prophesy. What does God do? God speaks. Men prophesy. To prophesy means to speak for another. God doesn't speak for another. He speaks for himself. And then men speak for him. Do you see the difference? So when the Bible uses prophecy, he's talking about because who inspired God? To prophesy means to speak under inspiration. So you can't say God is prophesying because that means God has to speak under inspiration. Who is inspiring God? Men, God speaks, men do what? Prophesy. What should be the content of prophecy? We just saw it there. Wonderful works. Then Peter goes further in his sermon as begin to explain. Remember he has already said that this is that which was spoken. Now look at verse 17 again. It shall come to pass. I want to see the gradual unfolding revelation step by step. It shall come to pass in the last days. Were they in the last days? Yes. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Notice the fact that they will speak before they will see. But two key things about our point of the spirit is that men will speak and then men will see. But speaking precedes seeing. Hallelujah. It means that in God, what is the most important thing that will be a manifestation when the Spirit of God is upon you? To speak. As you continue in the things of God, what else can manifest? To see. So, Peter said, as you are hearing them speak of the wonderful works of God now, some of them will not only speak it, they will see it and be able to explain further. and it's still prophecy. But what has happened, because they continued in those things, they moved over into the realm of sin. So last week, Wednesday, I said to some of us, we are going to deliberately speak out the mysteries of God now. How do we decode it from a mystery to what we understand? I said, some of you will pick up impressions, some of you are going to see. Some people picked up impressions, some people saw that day, isn't it? But where did it start from? From speaking. We saw the key in the scriptures. When they were filled, they began to speak. As they began to speak, obviously from what Peter said, they also after a while began to see. And that's the plan of God. But that the spirit of seeing and knowing will come into operation as we yield to the spirit of God. Here's what usually happens. A lot of people start out speaking, but they don't continue. Or let me put it this way. They speak for a short time and get discouraged. And it's a fundamental principle in scripture. The Bible says that you shall reap in due season if you faint not. That word faint not means to give up. It means that if you get weary, if you give up, the full manifestation of what God has promised in his word, which you are meant to receive as you start out, will not manifest. So what people do is this, I have spoken in tongues, it is not working. I'm not hearing anything. You didn't continue. You gave up too soon. What is giving you issues? Remember, every believer starts out with a unrenewed mind. So because your mind is not renewed, when you first start out, it's as though you are just speaking, but nothing is happening. But the truth of the matter is that things are happening in that unseen realm. Peter said, it shall come to pass. And then it came to pass. And what Peter was explaining to the crowd was what has already come to pass. They were able to speak. So the wonderful works of God were in existence, but the church was not able to speak it first until the Holy Ghost came. Why? The wonderful works of God are so awesome that they are beyond natural comprehension and natural language to convey it. So we also said that tongues is a language. A language speaks of a culture. A culture speaks of a civilization and a system. And a language is necessarily as big as the system it represents. So the same way English language is a representation of a particular civilization and a culture all over the world, the same way also tongues is a definite specific language that speaks of the civilization of God, of which the new creation is a part of. Hallelujah. So when Peter said they spoke of the wonderful works of God, then it means therefore by the Spirit of God, the things that were in existence, which they didn't know until the Spirit of God began to use their mouth to express it, they were given the language to be able to convey things of that particular realm. Let me say something. The things of the spirit realm, of the Spirit of God, are more real than these of this material realm. An unrenewed mind or way of thinking, which is man in his natural state, actually thinks that the natural realm is more real than the spiritual realm. But the Bible says by faith we understand that the worlds or ages and dispensations were framed by the word of God. Hebrews 11:3. What that means is this. The parent's world is more real than the child he gave birth to. The Bible says that the spiritual realm gave birth to the natural realm. Which realm is more real? The spiritual realm. Guess what? We are more attuned to the natural realm. What is the purpose of baptism of the Spirit? That we may learn how to relate to the unseen realm, because it's the parent realm. So if that's the parent, it means that it is that realm that determines what happens here and not the other way around. But we're so focused on this realm that we miss out on what is happening in that realm, which is where we actually call to participate. So your flesh, your physical body is interacting with this realm. Your physical body sits on this chair. Your spirit doesn't need a chair of this nature to sit. It does not. So the Bible can say things like, we are seated with him. Where? In heavenly places. In Christ. He's talking about your spirit, your status. But your physical body is seated here. It requires a physical medium which corresponds to its nature to operate. But your spirit corresponds with that nature and that realm of God, which is the realm of the spirit. And except you have a language, because do you know your interaction with this physical world is limited if you can't speak. It's limited if you can't express yourself. And the most basic way of expressing ourselves is through speech. So you went to school, so you learned a particular language, and then you were taught the language of your tribe or state when you were growing up. Why? So you can communicate with your people. You learned English language so you can communicate with people in this world. So English is a generally universally accepted language, isn't it, on earth? So in the same way also, why do you learn language? So that you can express yourself and you can understand people when they are communicating to you. The same way also, God gave us language that corresponds to the realm from which we were born. You have got little children. We are born of God. And so God gave us a language, which is tongues, to correspond to them where we come from, so that by consistently speaking out, we'll come to a place where we're able to draw out of that realm consciously the things that God wants every one of us to walk in. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to say it in many, many ways until we read it. So that you will see that tongues is not lama brastiso brafati labratis sebredika. What did you do? I just prayed. I don't really know what is there. Because nobody walks on the street and comes to you and just speaks English and says, I just spoke. I don't know what it means. And every time you speak, you say something. And you mean something. If you are talking on the road to yourself and you are speaking English and people hear you and you're talking to everybody, what do they call you? I didn't say it to you. I don't want to say it. I didn't say it. What will they call you? Because of necessity, you should be communicating to someone. And if you're not talking to anybody and you're talking to yourself, from what you are saying, if you are sane, people will know you are missing over certain things. So they still will not say. But when you are having a conversation that is supposed to be with yourself, and you are talking as though you are three people around you, they will know that. What time is it? Where are his people? Let us see where to take him to. Now, in the same way also, English language is a language that we all understand, given to us to relate with people in within the environment. Tongues is a language that God has given to us that we may be able to participate fully in the realm of the Spirit where we come from originally. Hallelujah. The Bible says, why we look not at the things which are seen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to come back here shortly, but let me just apply some of these principles so that it will help us, because it will help us to open up certain scriptures or certain principles rather in the Word of God, so that verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Okay, let's read from verse 16 to make meaning. For which cause we faint not. Remember in King James, if you read King James only, you will know what it means to faint not. So if you don't think of fainting as somebody collapsing, say amen. King James is wonderful. You know, if King James is still alive, he won't be reading King James. He'll be reading New King James or NIV. Okay, so when he says faint not here, you know what he's talking about? Give up. So if you want to read it more than, you say, for which cause we don't give up. That's what we faint not means. Okay? So don't look at faint as somebody who is tired and collapses. So for which cause we don't give up. That's what it means there. Next one. But though our outward man does what? Perish. You know, let me tell you what perishing means. You are growing old every day. So aging has power over your flesh. But aging has no power over your spirit. Okay? That's what it's talking about. So your outer man is perishing. Yet the inward man is renewed how? Day by day. By the way, the inward man is made of two components, the soul and the spirit of man. Not just the spirit, the soul and the spirit constitute the inner man. Next verse. For our light affliction. So, if you, Paul, whatever Paul is about to say here, you won't understand until you have read verse 16. Verse 17 will make, because what Paul is calling light affliction, actually, if he begins to explain it to you, you may not think it's light. So, the word light here is relative. Relative to what he's about to say. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, Paul is calling 20 years affliction a moment. And it's a moment when you compare 20 years with eternity. Say amen. How many of you agree? If you compare 20 years with eternity, isn't it not a moment? It's a moment. Okay, so you need to know what he's talking about. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not. If you're reading a good Bible version, you notice that there is what you call a semicolon in verse 17 at the end. After eternal weight of glory. Is it in your Bible like that? What does that tell you? What does a semicolon mean? English graduates. A thought continues. That's what it means. There's no full stop. The thought continues. So, it says, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look not. So, you read it together. While we look not. The only way it's going to work, the only way the affliction is going to be light and it's going to work for you a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory is what you are looking at. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. What does the word temporal mean? Subject to change. Eternal means abides forever. So Paul is saying, Everything you see around you, you're not able to pay rent. You're not able to pay for school fees. You're not having money to do this. All those things are all temporal. But what is eternal are the things that can't be physically seen, but they can be seen, only not physically seen. So Paul said, why we look not at the things which are seen? So Paul is saying that you were given natural eyes that you may gaze upon things that are within your environment, which you can all see. But you also have another set of eyes, which God gave to you to look at things which are not seen. Now, he said, what you need to do is this. Understand thy estimation. The things which you cannot see with your physical eyes, which nevertheless exist, carry more weight. And I'm more sure, I'm more certain that the things you can presently see. If you want to apply that in natural day, we can say that the sickness you may experience now is nothing compared to the health within your spirit. You may experience and feel sickness in your body, but it's saying that the health within your spirit, which you can see, is more real and is eternal. So it far outweighs the sickness that you can personally see in your body. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen? For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen, they are what? Eternal. For that the lines are falling for you in eternal places, they are eternal. That's an eternal factor. But here's what I want to bring out. Paul is talking about two sets of senses, the physical senses and the spiritual senses. When we speak in tongues, what comes awake and alive is our spiritual senses. When we speak natural language, what comes alive, we're conscious of, is our physical senses. So a language also corresponds to a particular set of senses. When we're speaking in tongues, what should awake is our spiritual senses. Because Peter said, you prophesy, and then they began to see. And the seeing that they saw wasn't natural seeing. It was in the realm of the spirit. How did they get in? They spoke in tongues, they prophesied, and then they saw. So it was a progression. They spoke in tongues, they prophesied, and then they saw. Which means that an entrance was ministered to them into the invisible realm. And they began to operate from that invisible realm. And Paul said, upon all flesh, my sons and daughters. If you read further, it talks about handmaidens and servants. What's the difference? Handmaidens and servants are those who are called to ministry. But in case you start thinking it's the exclusive preserve of those who are called, it says, upon all my sons and what? Daughters. What qualifies you to prophesy? You are a son and you are a daughter. 120 disciples. 12 of them were apostles. If we remove 12 for 120, how many are left? 108. Who were laymen? They were not apostles. What does that tell you according to the plan of God? It means that in every generation, there will always be few who are fivefold and more. Do you understand the equation? 108 to 12. That's the equation of God. So the people that will be called to full-time ministry are very few. The people that will be in the ministry of helps, which is every member of the body of Christ, they will always be more in number. And God has set some, not all. But everyone has their place. But here's what Paul is saying. He's saying that they spoke in tongues, they prophesied, and then they saw. And the same Paul now told us, Peter was what Peter said. The same Paul now told us about the fact that why we look not at things which are seen. So Paul is telling us we can see things which are not seen. If only we know how to exercise ourselves. And that's one of the reasons why we prayed in tongues last week. Why? We wanted to see things that can be physically seen. Did we see? We did. Now, here's what I want to get into. When you operate the laws of God, they are laws. What makes a law a law? It's a law because it always works. Whatever goes up, comes down. If something goes up and doesn't come down, it's either operating by a higher law or something else is in operation. The only place where gravity doesn't work is on the moon. But gravity works on the earth. So gravity is a law. The law of sowing and reaping is a universal law. It was put in the realm of the spirit and in natural. You can't go and sow corn and suddenly harvest. And then you go away and say, one of those things. How can it be one of those things? You understand? In the same way also, you can't go and pay for a Range Rover Jeep and they brought out a Cherokee. You say it's one of those things. No, the money is not the same. Somebody just said, no. You know there's a major difference between Range Rover and what? Cherokee. But here's what we do. We try to practice spiritual things. If your appearance as well is not working, we just go away. In fact, we say, the day you moved in the spirit and you prophesied, we think it's a coincidence. It just worked that day. God was in a good mood. So, I was able to speak. No, it's a law. Once the Spirit of God has been given to you, it never goes. Who decides when to prophesy? Primarily you. Why are you not prophesying? You don't want to. It depends on you now because it has come. That means that doing something about his presence is actually up to you. How do you do it? By knowledge. Did they speak that day? Yes, they did. Did the Holy Ghost help them? Yes, he did. Why? That was initial phase. What happened? They continued. They entered many things. After that, the Holy Ghost always come and pump Peter. No, Peter now knew how to initiate. Because you find that in scriptures, there's something about initiating things that always pleases God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must, one, believe that he is, and God is a rewarder. So there's something about you initiating that always excites God. And every Christian has the ability to initiate once you are filled with the Spirit. So you are not meant to sit around waiting for God to move, because God is sitting around waiting for you to move. How do you move? Based on knowledge. And they spoke in tongues. And then they prophesied. And they moved into other deep things. But they started it. Why? They wanted it to be. And there is no time that you yield to the Spirit. The Spirit of God will say, I am tired today. Come tomorrow. He will never say so. Because he doesn't need rest like you need rest. So it's a function of you knowing and understanding that you feel with the Spirit, you are fulfilling prophecy. This is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass. So in order to bring some things to pass, you have to step out by faith and then begin to walk in the reality of it. In fact, let me read further what he said. Let's go back to that Acts chapter 2 again. Hallelujah. Are you flowing along with me? All right. So everything you read from Acts chapter 2 all the way down is still Peter still preaching and explaining. But let's just jump, because I want to show you something that he now said. Verse 33. Therefore, this is Peter preaching. So I'm dropping into the middle of that. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Who is he talking about? I just want to make sure you know. Who is he talking about? Jesus. So he's explaining Jesus. So everything he has said before, just to save time, that's why we're not reading everything. He's talking about Jesus. And he still started with what? Joel. This is what Joel spoke about. He will pour out his Spirit. So Peter is now saying, why is it possible that now God is able to pour out his Spirit? Verse 3 says, Jesus being by the right hand of God, what? Exalted. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this, which now you now see and hear. Which you now see and what? Hear. See and what? Hear. Notice something very important about the ministry of the Spirit of God there. They initially spoke out the wonderful works of God. Peter now said, part of that fulfillment is this. Jesus, the minute he was exalted at the Father's right hand, he received the Holy Ghost. Now, if you don't understand scriptural language, you're wondering that, are you saying Jesus didn't have the Holy Ghost before? No, that's not what he's talking about. When Jesus had the Holy Ghost, he had the Holy Ghost as a man, as a prophet on earth. When he rose up, he didn't rise up as a prophet alone. He rose up as the first begotten from the dead. The hallmark and the first sample of the new creation. The first man to be born out of spiritual death. When he rose up also, he also went up as Lord's high priest. When he also went up, he went up as a captain of our salvation. When he ascended and he sat, he became Lord over all things. But he was still a man. And that fact is tremendous. So when the Bible says he has received the Holy Ghost, which he now shed, it means the dimension in which he was now given the Holy Ghost is different. He was given the Holy Ghost not for himself, but in a format in which he could release it upon us. Let me explain again. So you understand. It had never happened before until the day of Pentecost that the Holy Ghost will actually come up, down and take permanent residence in men. It had never happened. It was a visitor. It will come upon Elijah to fulfill ministry and lift. Come and lift. It will come upon the king to stand in his office and lift. It will come upon the priest to walk and then lift. But he couldn't stay because there was no abode for him to stay. He couldn't live in the house of men because their spirit was not recreated. But on the day of Pentecost, because the spirit of men were recreated, he could now enter and stay. So in explaining, John puts it this way. He said, the Spirit of God, he now abides in us. He doesn't go. He's no longer a visitor. is now permanently living inside of you. Hallelujah. So when it says he received the Holy Ghost, he being by the right hand of God exalted, he's talking about a dimension of operation of the Spirit of God such that in every single believer, through the Holy Ghost, Christ himself is living in your heart and living in my heart. And it was a function of them just giving expression to it. What that simply means is this. Now, consciously, deliberately, because we're baptized, we can step over into the realm of inspired utterances by simply praying in tongues. How do we know? We are filled with the Holy Ghost and we can begin to speak. They were filled and they began. And as they began, they entered into deeper waters, but they began. Another word for beginning is this, they began to yield. And as they yielded, things were happening and more happened. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Hallelujah. Question I want to ask you. Has the Spirit giving you utterance? If you check your mind, you won't say yes, so. Because the utterance is not usually in your mind. Somebody says, but Pastor, there are times I sense the utterance. Beautiful. That is when the Holy Ghost is always initiating it. Here's a mistake we make. A few times we have had experience. How many of you have sensed that the Holy Ghost was upon you? You could sense it. You felt like speaking. Thank God for that. But guess what? That is not the normal everyday operation. Normal everyday operation, you are the one who starts. It is much more like the way they used those old local pumps used to work. The water is deep underground. And then you go, it uses a pulley system. And then you do this. In fact, some of them have to pour a little water in first to jumpstart. And then you keep pumping. Then you know if you do the first 7 swings, nothing seems to happen. Somebody says, why is nothing happening? Who told you nothing is happening? Plenty is happening. The water is in the channel. It hasn't reached top yet, but it's coming from the ground. Guess what? If you stop then, everything you have pumped goes back inside. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Do you know natural things can be used to explain spiritual truths? How many of you have used that kind of pump before? All of you are urban people. None of you went to the village. None of you are too touche. You've never been to the village before. How many people have felt water in the well before? Well water. You felt better water. How many of you have bathed in the river before? Don't raise your hand. I don't want you to expose yourself. Let us keep believing the way you are looking that you are touche. That you have not used river water before. But guess what? As you're pumping water, using that old pump system, if you keep pumping, after a while, what happens? The water springs forth. But in the first initial pumps, what happens? The water doesn't come out. If you don't understand how the system works, you think water is not coming up. Water is like, but it's still within the channel. Still, and the thing is deep underground. So the deeper it is, the more work you have to do in that sense. So when you read the Bible, says deep calls to deep. The deep that you have, which is your spirit with the revelation, we use that revelation to bring out water from your inside. And as you begin to draw, water will start coming out. Guess what? When the first set water comes out, it never rushes. It comes out in a trickle. If you continue pumping, what happens? You produce enough suction force to allow the water to now start rushing out. The same it is in the realm of the spirit. You spoke out a few words. You said, I don't really think it's really working. You are stopping too soon. Continue. If you will continue, it will become a gusher. So here's what people do. When they pray in tongues, a few words start coming. And they're like, I'm only hearing, wait. What does that mean? I'll just come and say, wait, Abby. What does that mean? You are like somebody who starts jacking that pulley system. And the first trickle comes out. But you have brought a bucket to fill it with full water so you don't go and take your bath. You don't need a drop. You need more. What do? Continue pressing. Because it's not a drop that's going to come out. The full water is going to start pouring out. But it starts with seemingly droplets. If you understand the system, you know, apply more pressure, full water will start coming out. You don't stop. So that weight will soon become more than weight. It will become a sentence. And then from the sentence, more will be given. For because to him that has, more will what? Be given. So when we are moving out in the realm of the spirit this way, that's where faith is important. Somebody says, what do I need faith for? To continue so that you can hear more. And then you will say more. I really wonder why most of us are afraid to step out in the realm of the spirit. I just say, come, take the mic. They look everywhere else. As we are not even, people are like, And the only question is, what if I miss it? What if I don't get it? What if I miss it? What if you get it? Why didn't you think I will get it? Second thing, whom professor is like Sister Pat? Sister Pat is like you saying that I am now going to be talking the way Sister Pat talks. Sister Pat talks in a particular way based on her personality. Have you noticed that in conversations, some people can speak 100 words per minute? And some people per minute, it's only 15 words. So you even be thinking, when you finish saying what you want to say? I know somebody, his gesticulation is more than the words he wants to say. That is correct. You're like, when will you say the, before we say it again, and it's not terminal. True. You need to understand. I'm like, you're listening, you're tired already. That when will you complete the statement? The time you used to do all that, some people have spoken 50 words. They are trying to say, slow down, slow down, slow down. We're all different. Guess what? Don't be surprised. When you start prophesying, it will reflect. You know what people are thinking? They think that when they are prophesying, they will just suddenly change. Personality will change. In fact, some people even pretend so that you think there is really the spirit. No, the spirit will use your personality to flow. Don't you understand? It will use your personality to flow. Paul was a lawyer. Read his letters. He was a revelation, Spirit of God. He is argumentative. He will present strong. He's a lawyer. And the Spirit of God knew he would be. That's why they used him for that kind of work. Peter was a fisherman. He doesn't use that kind of language. What is God doing? He prefers to use your personality. So when I hear people change their tone, when they're prophesying, I really wonder. You know? They now suddenly become theological. Oh Lord, thou art. Thy name is very great. Great art. Is that, that's not the way you speak English. You also know that's not the way you speak normally. Yes, we have King James a lot. But that you are speaking normal English doesn't mean you are less spiritual. It is not the, it is the content that really matters. Hallelujah. I've often told you, think about it. If you think Jesus will appear to you and are saying, who are thee? Art thou my son? He can't say that in Mushin and the walk. If he just goes to Mushin to see a talk, you think he just say, Adam, my son, my very old son. It's not as we Jesus will speak there. No. Jesus will speak the language. What's up? Bubba, what's happening? You think he's, he will speak the language that the person there will understand. Paul told us, Jesus spoke to me in the Hebrew tongue. The idea is not to speak grandiose, it is to speak something that you will understand. Hallelujah. What is prophecy? Inspired utterance. And though you are saying thou, ye, oh, great, doesn't mean it's inspired. That doesn't mean inspired. God will flow through your personality. That's why you don't necessarily have to try to prophesy like I do. I didn't even get here today. It took me a while to get where I am. My mind constantly being renewed. And then I'm learning every day how to yield more to the Spirit of God. I still miss it at times. Because I'm still growing. Nobody has everything right. Got everything right. So church is the best place to practice. If you miss it, we'll tell you. You just continue. And you learn and you grow more. But never be afraid of giving expression to the Spirit of God. Every one of us is called to learn. Every one of us is called to flow. Are we filled with the Spirit? Yes. Will we yield? That's the next question. Are we going to yield based on the fact that we can? Hallelujah. As we move over into that dimension tonight, 1 Corinthians 14, and then I stop. How many of us are filled with the Spirit? Can I see your hand? With the evidence of speaking in tongues, let me see your hand. All right, good stuff. Good stuff. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 1, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, albeit in the spirit he speak mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification, and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in our own tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Hallelujah. Notice that the instruction that Paul is giving seems to be very simple. What is that instruction? Paul is saying that you guys prophesy is not in question. That you guys can speak in tongues is not in question. I'm just going to give you instructions concerning how to use it. So Paul is saying, you are filled with the Spirit. You can speak in tongues. I'm just going to tell you how to use it. Why did Paul write to the church? He wasn't writing the church so that they can do it. He was writing because they could do it and how to use it. That's simply all. What Paul is saying is this, I'm assuming all of you are filled with the Spirit. If you are really believers, you're born again, you are filled with the Spirit. I just need to tell you how to channel the Spirit. When I say one, two, go, I want everybody to start speaking in tongues. Are you ready? One, two, go. And among us, the Sibrad and Kaladis, the Sebredilla Bambros, Tusabra Catiladiste, Yesho, Brusta, Brandi, Elekito, Brusta Castikistis, Sebredi Calasto, Zucubrada, Akalianta Kiste, Yelikengo, Brusta Kaleni Catastikisikia, Akugobo, Retile, Estele Brestikos to Casada, Lady Broco, Talib, Estekiste, Kistisisibregikia, Lanocobo, Kevredia, La Castikistisikibia, Nendum, Brodala, Abrasia, Sabradil Kula Cata, Lady Brady, Este Break, stop! Now, I did that deliberately to prove something. How many of you spoke in tongues just now? When you are speaking in tongues, what is happening? Are you speaking by inspiration? By the Spirit of God? Were you able to stop? Isn't that amazing? You were able to stop. And you were speaking by the power of God, and you were able to stop. What does that tell you? Though you will speak with the power of God, you can stop it from flowing whenever you want to. The Bible actually calls it quenching the Spirit. If we had continued, what would have happened? Some of you started and there was sluggishness and reluctance. What would have happened? The sluggishness and the reluctance would have stopped. You just discovered that you're just speaking and it's just speaking and it's getting easier and easier. Somebody said, what's happening? Your spirit man is gaining more preeminence over your soul and over your flesh. And so it gets more easy and more easy. But guess what? Even though you are yielding consciously, you can stop at any time. It even means you can stop the power of God at any time you want to. That's the beauty of the new creation. It's better to think that way than to think, I don't know if God will move. No, it's not about God moving. He has moved. It's about you yielding. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to pray again. This time you're going to speak in tongues, but this time with a consciousness of expecting results. When I say results now, you are going to speak out the wisdom of God. You are going to speak out in mysteries. You're going to harvest wisdom out of it. You are going to speak out expecting to see and to hear, and you see what will happen. Are you ready? Want to go. Manke lebrito, stobran ancestas, lesuzo broca, la libre dilste brasticus tasa bragatos, ecamanto, bue verialanasto, luja brastic sticus tese predica laticus tacaya, eneclado, brue fredila castiese se prediculia, ado, bombe, lefre, dila catos tuo, emike bras, suzoprone gladia, ashto brocus de kikis tese se predica ladisto, lumbra, tangle, lenecando, bruniete, lene braticus tegure castiese gaba, Ako man kaladianda aki kestike sizibrieko. Migo bradile elene enigo bregie legeato suzokuna katika ledika. Yelijo brojte brediasta kastike sizibriediga lananko. Miku poku reste ke sebredie la kastike sizibriediko. Lenon gravraki kestike sizibriedika la kikishti bradiko. Eliga brunge vredie la kastike sizibriediko. Loburite li brenishe brenieste ke sizibriedika. Eli brunishte brokoste vredie la kastike sizibriedika. Elene bredi Diana Brusti Shubrocuste Libra Katia, Elenianco, Boncatri Lenipo, Enki Breniana, Shubrocuste Gis, Elia Magato, Anjo Brocusteliana, Akaleno, Subroniana Castia, Elele Eco Brocusta Castiquesia, Lekeke Brat Isto Costo Cobraneaco Litana, Neco Gavros Tekis de Cisea, Ashto Shubrosto Sabracalica Dandia, Egemo, 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 Ek Bonavranangalaki Castiquesi Sibriadicoli Cadaste, Yejibrosta Franaculiana Castiquesia, Lestuzobronia la Canto, Lunco Brocustekis de Cisebredica la Dish de Mecos of Brocutta Kitigitabo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you heard or saw something? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. Now, there was nobody that spoke now that something wasn't ministered. The issue is sensitivity to what was ministered. So we're going to do something just now and then we'll come back. Okay? We're going to sing. It's amazing how singing affects our souls in helping us to receive what has been already released and ministered. Hallelujah. Someone says, Pastor, what do you think we should sing? I'm led. Not only that, I know what song would you sing. Is it a new song? Not necessarily. It's a song that you already know, that may now be new because people are singing now. Hallelujah. We're talking about how to flow with the Spirit of God. Amen. Matthew's helping out. Yahweh. Yahweh. Oh, Yahweh. So glorious in your praise. Hallelujah. It's more. Reliya brakita lira bradiste se bradikola castise se bradikola tisto sore. Que já abraço se comangra tikesti kesti se brikala tio. Lodaka bredila diste de brakikisti kisti se kana. Hello, no man, grastic is this a predicola tisto. Jico sabragastic eliata gastic is this a brique. Edongla, Elinangra gusticus to subrocuta linga latia. Edia, Bacoto, Bradilla distene catasuzo, Zuzocumbra, Eleninga, Etelenongos to brocus the kiste kiste sedia, Acalatica kiste sia, Ajo, Prostevredica latica, Edaca, Libongute libra da kite sisea, Asto, Bakite, Elenongo, Eledibra, Ateletubra. Distoco Garcia, Zezo Prodila Gatile Dista Dico, Gano, Mande, Libre di Ganastico Suzoko, Lady Ganabra Kite Diste Mia, Edo Goba, Ledele Kiata, Stag Brodico Stuco Suzoko Dia, Eli Galaga, Boko de Vredila Kite Liste Brekisto Suzokoria, Elenon Gabra di Keliasa Castizo Koria, Ekako, Ekube, Libre di Genia, Edo Gula Vite Liste, Ebros to Zakami, Oko Go, Catiste Sia. Castese boki de bredila de starima gadia ege non a castige si se kibo e po di la nasta di e no mandia la te ta di e che du se se li bradi e no no ele testu so da di da caste e la stu di buri e la e burgo stelina po e la ridos e rido celebreti estiza e duru cosum e la rumore testi e la sto e baca lo stuso se e lo luga mi le poniso e le e chi cosu so la di mio e murula ni asta che calobro chi sta sine ni atum Mino con la bodilena alla suzo mongalista e cumo la ne patilosa zesa di coculi di me e borso subuli angaline niu lengo prostile nuco mata se cubro la tielasa surulu livre la chitonino la la ratiesha Ecco gusto sulle bridalie, mi golara sti stola, e la nicon buri che sti so, sciola si se brati che lu, o la no brati e se se. Se cupa lì te bredi asta cala di stene, se cosa li bradi e la castise se bredi che sabo. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Shebrosta galada custesi di pradike e gomo blali le vredike stiso la castile tiste so so ratile che ti predista satu le bradista. Hallelujah. Before we continue singing, because I think Martin's has probably a song or something we'll sing. You see, you sought for the light in the wrong place. You sought the Lord who shine the light upon your way. Yet the light that Lord has lighted is the candle of your spirit. For the light is not coming without, it's coming from within. The light is within you. The ladder you will climb to rise out of that situation. For you have said many times, I'm stuck in this state of existence, in this status. I ought to have moved on, but I can't seem to find the way out. Yet the way out is within your spirit. For I have put the light within, and I've placed within you words that will create ladders that you will use to climb out of your present state of existence into the new place I prepared for you. So look not without, look within. And look at the light and speak forth the light. And then the light will shine. For I did not walk forth in your environment, but I walk within your heart. And as I walk within your heart, out of it will shine forth the light that you require. And so stop looking without and say, help is coming. It will soon come. Say, help is here and it is manifest. 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 And out of your spirit will come clarity, direction. You will know exactly what to do. And the status will change. You will change, will change, will change, will change. And the prophecy will come to pass. And you will find that the word of God will be your present day experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's for someone. I see someone else doing your best to run. As a matter of fact, you seem to be running, but you are making no progress. So much effort, but no progress. You say the strength is there, the ability is there, but the results are lacking. But thus saith the Spirit of God, that which you try to do, take a step back and observe that you have done much in your own strength, yet it's written by strength shall no man prevail. Do by my word. And then when you run, you will not run much, but you will go far. Or you will move a little, but you will find yourself in places you didn't think you would get into. Then all glory and praise will belong to me. And so stop trying to cut corners and stop trying to get things done by yourself. By strength shall no man prevail, but by my spirit prevailing, dominion and victory already is packaged and prepared for you. Walk with my spirit. Act out the instructions of my spirit. They may be foolishness to the mind, but they will bring you into the realms of great victory. Hallelujah. They will bring you to the realm of great victory. To that person coming up for a performance assessment. Not about many sales. That person coming up for performance assessment is not about many sales. It's about one single idea. One single idea. And I will put you ahead of the rest. One single idea and you will speak. Oh, when it comes out of your mouth. To the others, you look like, how come this seems so obvious? How come we didn't see? But as it is written, eyes have not seen nor ear heard. And as it entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared, I have prepared it for you to see what others cannot see. And as you see it, as you say it, that single idea will affect your assessment and will put you ahead of the others, and you will cover good ground. You will cover good ground. You will cover good ground. For the wisdom of God will stand surety for you, and it will move you ahead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we give you praise. We exalt you. We exalt you. Are you ready? Go ahead. And then we start coming out one by one. Today, just the first day, we start coming out one by one. Whatever it is that you have, at the struggle me, I've given you. You just,
casting crowns.
worship you, Lord Jesus.
You reign on high, you reign on high, you reign on high,
Amen. Glory to God. You ask something? Be bold. Hallelujah. Be bold. You have something? Listen. It's a song. It's a worship song. Any other person has something? You have something? You have to get to that place where, you know, boldness. Without boldness, you just yield to the Spirit of God. Whatever is asking you to do, that yielding goes a long way into responding to all God wants you to do. And then never despise what the Spirit of God asks you to do. Don't say, well, isn't that song is a song we all know. Well, usually God starts from the known to the unknown. Yeah. If you ever want to walk in the things that you don't know yet, you start from the known. Always from the known and then to the unknown. That's where God operates. Hallelujah. Yeah, Sonny, go ahead.
Hallelujah. Onye kere ụwa chi mo nara ekele. Onye kere ụwa chi mo nara otito. Okosisi na-eche mba mo. Odo okume obasi di n'igwe. Odo okune otito diri gi. Agama churu gi mama. Agama churu gi mama. Odokume okosisi neche mbamo. Odokume obasi dinigwe. Odokume ekene diwigi. Agama churu gi mama. Agama churu gi mama. Onye kere ụwa chi mo nara ekele. Onye kere ụwa chi mo nara otito. Onye kere ụwa chi mo nara ekele. Agama churu gi mama. Agama churu gi mama.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Master, come. Yeah, come. Jehovah Debebe, Jehovah Mama, oh, oh, Jehovah Debebe,
Mariba kashi kari akibu kusute ika makinyana. Nibuku setere kerebo. Kari handala kika buku shi anka kakasi terekerebo. Ni manka di manka da keke keke buku susere kere yandalika. Ni anka si keke boshiata. La riba kasuntu kamanku kusia kelebo kiaka. Makushe terebo ki kese se kariha. Ni manka kuku serika kabuku kusi narike kesheta. Ni kele ke kakuku su sede mashi kari ma woman kasitere kelebo ni kakaka si kakaki kisinta ni handa la buku kusita ni handa shikerebo kasite ni kakiga kapuku shatikere ni makisetere kaladinda la kibu kisetere ke kika si usarsi maka shanta la chete kelebo shitere kasa tuku masi handele kakasiga For fatia mashite kebo. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, ma sika linda ni ma koka shika kasina marike sinta. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Ni ma kika shite rekeke sinta lihanda la kuku sunte lihanda. When they say there's a casting down, you shall say there's a lifting up. My yinsa ni man kasinda lelele kelebo kasi sinse sarida dadi kebo shita. Now is appointed time to worship. Now is appointed time to go out and do that the Lord has placed in your heart to do, because you know that God's plans towards you will never fail. He will never leave, he will never forsake. He will never leave, he will never forsake. Even when the whole world is crying out for help, you will be distinguished. Li manka sinta li kerebo, nari bakeshe tere kerebo, nari makuse terebo, nari makuse terebo, nari makuse terebo, nari makuse terebo. No more lack, no more begging. No more lack, no more begging. It's time to rejoice. It's time to make bold God that God has placed in your heart, because it's going to give you a hope and a future, because it loves you, because it cares for you. It is time for you to launch out and do that which the Lord has placed in your heart to do. Receive boldness to do things according to the will of God. Receive boldness. Take out that step in faith, believing that God is with you, leading you every step of the way. Mashiaka. Ninke keke bosheta li nari hanka kusete karika kuku samari kereho. At the end of the day, you have every cause to glorify God. You have every cause to glorify God. But you can only enjoy the fullness of God by you taking that step. Launch out. Go out. Be bold. God has placed in your heart to do great things. Start doing it, because God will never leave nor forsake you. He will never leave nor forsake you. Mashiaka. He will never leave nor forsake you. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Just to continue from where she stopped. In him was life. And this life, the life you've received, to this same wisdom, the hidden wisdom of God, that same life is the illumination, the understanding, the showing forth of men. In him was life. Now, this life is what you've come to receive in his entirety, in his wholeness. Of his fullness have you received that same life. Jesus said in his word, I come so that you can have life and have it abundantly. You have this life in you, not in a measure that can be taken away, not in a leaking measure, in a permanent measure, in a constant measure, the fullness of it. It's time to make a big deal of that life that is in you. It's time to show it forth, to express it in all that you do. It's time to bring forth the word that was spoken by beaming the light of that life that is in you, and things will begin to fall in place. And you said also in your heart, oh, I have a prophet, and whatever the prophet says, I will do. But much more you should know, you are a prophet. There is a prophet in you, because the word of God is coming to life as you speak it, and it's coming to a reality. So, Your life is not dependent on that prophet. Your life is dependent on your own prophet, which is from your mouth. And from there, sustenance come. And from there, life is being fought.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, you said that from the beginning of the year till now, I've not really accomplished much. And I've tried. I've exercised myself. And yet nothing really, really came out of that which I've done. But you see now, by grace and by the revealed word of God, you can dig the wells again for Jacob. Even Isaac dug again the wells that his father had made, and water began to come out. And so dig the wells again and start. And you will see that waters will flow and come forth abundantly for you. Even the same place you said there was no water, there will be water. And you'll find an abundance that will bring forth a refreshing. For the year is still loaded and pregnant with harvest for you. And your harvest is sure and you won't lose it. Your harvest is sure and it won't go. Your harvest is sure and it won't be forsaken. Your harvest is sure and it will manifest. The season is still your season. The grace is still available. The year is still leading with good things for you. Dig again the wells, the same places, the same things you seem to have done, but the results will be different. The results will be different. Have faith and step out and go again, and you will see that the year will begin for you at the time that you receive his word and you step out on that which he has said, and you'll find much, much, much abundance everywhere you look. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I called her to come for because I sensed in her that she had something. Now, she's not the only one who has something. A few of us too do. But the difference is, do you have enough boldness to come out? Are you so concerned about what you are going to say that you are wondering that what would I say when I get there? Why don't you come out? And then when you get the mic and trust the Spirit of God, and he will give you utterance. And don't be so concerned about how you will say it. There is a beginning. If there is a beginning, there will be a continuity. If there is a continuity, there will be an end. What do you require? Faith to start out. Faith to step out. Remember, God sometimes starts with only a word. And all the word, that single word, is all you may have to start up with. What do? Just stay with it until more comes. More, to him that has, more shall be given. That's what the scriptures teach. And that's the way it is. Alano Gabros Tisetia. The ideas don't match. Even the plans that you have made two separate plans. They don't seem to match. And so you are wondering, is any of this from God? But it is from God to your spirit that you may prosper in the season that you are in. Yeah, they may seem to be from different departments or areas of life, yet they will work because it is given to you by the Spirit. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It is coming from your spirit. So be bold to put into operation and step out. Do not try to immediately look for a correlation between the two ideas and stop saying they don't match. They do not match now, but they will match. And you will find for each and each of those two, supernatural supplies that will cause them to be established businesses on their own, and you will be vindicated and justified. Amen. Hallelujah. God asks for somebody who is involved in business and who has two separate ideas that don't seem to have any connection, and you are wondering, is it really God? Could God be the one giving me this? Yeah, it is. It is. He's confirming to you that it is. And though they may seem as though they are disconnected, but they are not. It is at the onset that they look disconnected. You will see the connection as time goes on. Even as you do your best to step out by faith, you will see the connection as time goes on. But be bold. Be bold. Bible says, now cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience after you have received the promise. You know, after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Hallelujah. All right, before we go tonight, any other person has something you sense in your heart? Okay.
Amen. When Pastor Tolu was talking then, he was saying, in him you have life. But when I was standing there, I was receiving another word. He said, in him I have boldness. I can do all things. In him I have boldness. That message is for someone who is trying to take a step.
but you are running back to your cupboard because you don't have the boldness. But say to yourself, in him I have boldness. I can do all things. Amen.
Hallelujah. Someone wrote this and sent this. I'm just going to read it out. I saw a line like an irrigation line overflow with the wavelength of the Spirit of God. Along the line, there were patches of links attached to them. Then I heard, fear not, for the hooks are for tearing apart the challenges and difficulties along the path. I also heard, chosen for great and wonderful works of God. To be done through you, it is a shining path to the attainment of the glory of God. Somebody saw that and sent it. Hallelujah. As we also get better with interpretation, which is something that we mature in over time, your ability to interpret actually increases as you put it to work. What's the first thing you do? Boldness to step out. Start from where you are. Don't say this is too little. Bible says, despise not the days of small beginnings. So what you don't think is relevant is actually relevant to someone. And that's what matters the most. Yep.
You know, the Bible says that if a son asks of bread, of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or asks for fish, will you give him a serpent? It says, if you then, being evil, can give your children good gifts, how much more me, your Father in heaven? In other words, once you ask me, step out in boldness. Be bold about it. You know, remember that I've not given you the spirit of fear, but out of boldness, of a sound mind. Therefore, go out. Once you are not bold in me and with me, you can't be bold with the world. You can't face the world. So be bold in me. Ask and step out in boldness.
Hallelujah. Boldness.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Reverend asked us to speak in tongues for the second time, I think I saw two things. Believe you me, they were not things I was thinking about at all. And, I saw new wine in old bottle. New wine in an old bottle, and it was sealed with a cork. Then after that left, another flash, I saw fresh blocks and fresh cement being laid. I don't know what it means, sir. Fresh blocks of cement being laid, freshly laid, in layers, and it just left. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
He said, Mommy, I want to talk. I said, what are you going to say? He said, God is blessing us. God is blessing us. And God has removed debt from us. Everybody is blessed. The power of God is in this place. So she was, then you called me out. Now she went out to ease herself and come and say, Mommy, I want to say it. I want to say it. This thing is disturbing me. I said, okay, wait. I will say it. He said, God is blessing everybody here. God is blessing us. So that's why I came out.
Out of the mouth of sucklings and babes, God has ordained strength. The new wine, the old bottle, simply means new things in that by an unrenewed mind. God is simply saying, renew your mind. And the product of a renewed mind is the blocks that Solu saw. New blocks and seem everything being laid together. That's the result. That if the wine skin can become new too, the wine can flow out. The wine can flow out. And like that young lady just saw, because God opens her eyes a lot to see things. And because sometimes we are not aware of what is happening, particularly if nobody comes to lay hands on you. You know, sometimes you can be conditioned. When they lay hands, that means I'm blessed. No, you are blessed as you are just seated. There are things that God has been able to do because the atmosphere was right for him. Hallelujah. And you see, you will not fall into the wrong trap. Yeah. There are traps that are set, but you won't fall. You won't fall for it. You have escaped. You have escaped. You have escaped. You have escaped. Hallelujah. Sometimes it takes just one service like that. And God will engineer things and you will just escape. Hallelujah. I want you to say to me, those that put their trust in him shall never be ashamed. I will never be ashamed. I will never be disgraced. My trust is in the Most High. All my expectations are going to be manifest. All my expectations are going to make the reality in him. He is with me always. He will never leave me nor forsake me. So I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will never be afraid. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. This will be a great season for us in every area, in every direction. Father, we give you praise tonight. We exalt you. Thank you. Thank you for your mighty presence. Thank you for your good grace and your goodness. Thank you for tonight and the things you brought and things you've done. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Delay. But I also see a baby. For when you're overdue for a particular blessing, then the blessing will be double when it comes. It will be double when it comes. It will be double when it comes. It will be double when it comes. So for the one that it pertains to when it comes to a child, it will also be double to you in quick succession. In quick succession. For the delay is no more. The delay is no more. The delay is no more. Thank you, Father. We exalt you. We exalt you. Hallelujah. Amen.